Open your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. Now, this is probably not going to be a message where I'll get wound up quite as much as I did last night, but I trust that maybe it'll be a help to somebody. Genesis chapter 40. And if you have your place in the scriptures under Abel, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Genesis 40, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his banker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sad today? So sadly today. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong unto God? Tell me them, I pray you. And we'll cease our reading right there. You know the rest of the story, how Joseph interpreted the dreams, and both of those dreams came true. But what I want to draw your attention to verse 6 and 7. Look again at verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's, of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Title of the message tonight, when sadness comes our way. Father, I thank you now for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit tonight and proclaim your word. God, I thank you for the folks that have come out this evening. Lord, we're just human. And I know you would desire for us to be joyful all the time. And Lord, when there's a lack of joy, as we saw Sunday morning, there's typically a need for revival. And God, we do ask you for revival. We ask you for revival in each of our hearts. But Lord, we realize that we're all human. And Lord, even in a revived state, even in a spiritual state, every now and then sadness comes our way. I pray you'll help us to see some truths from your word tonight. Take control of the service. Now, Lord, I need you. I just pray you touch me. I just want to be a blessing to these folks. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When sadness comes our way, we all experience times of sadness in our lives. Amen. Anybody here say you've never been sad? My hand's not up, by the way. I was just showing you what to do. Not me. we all go through that from time to time, amen. But we certainly should not stay there. Okay, there are times that things don't go like we thought they would, like we hoped they would, and we end up in a low time and a time of discouragement, a time of sadness, and what do you do? Well, I believe God's word has the answer to that. First, I want to look at some things that make us sad. So many things that in our lives can bring sadness our way, and honestly, some of that can be avoided. Okay. Sometimes we injure ourselves, self-inflicted wounds, you might say, self-inflicted injuries. Sometimes we bring sadness on ourselves just by the life we're living and the choices we make in our lives. But there are some things that make us sad, and I want to look at a few of those this evening. The first one I want to mention is a lack of understanding. A lack of understanding sometimes brings sadness in our lives. Right here in our text passage, if you notice, they didn't understand their dreams. Okay, they didn't understand it. They were troubled. They were troubled at these dreams. It says in verse 5, they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. Now Joseph comes in and notices they're sad. He asks them why they're sad. And verse 8, they say unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong unto God?" Well, they dreamed a dream and they didn't understand what it meant. Sometimes there's things in our lives come along and we don't understand. We just don't know what God's doing. We don't know what's going on. We don't know, there are events that happen. Situations in our lives happen and we say, "Lord, why? I don't understand that. I don't understand. What are you doing, Lord? What does this mean? What does this event that happened, are you trying to show me something?" It might be a dream. Most generally, God doesn't speak to us in dreams. You might have a dream and wake up in the morning and happen to remember the dream. And I wonder what that was about. Is there a significance there? Any of you ever had that happen? You wake up in the morning, you wonder, that's very interesting that I dreamed that, you know, could be significance, might not, but little things. It might be a dream, might be something totally different. Might be issues with the car. Why am I having so much trouble? I don't understand. I bought it. I mean, it was supposed to be a good one. I bought a Ford, and then they told me that meant fix or repair daily. Now I understand. Sorry, preacher. I like your truck. I do like your truck. No, really. It doesn't matter what brand you get. You know, you got trouble with all of them sometimes. But things come along. Situations in our lives. Sickness. Ailments. You name it. Things come on and we just don't understand, and we get kind of down in the dumps about it sometimes. I want you to notice Psalm 147. Sometimes there are things that come along. A lack of understanding brings sadness to our lives, but I want you to see this. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord. We know that, amen. Great is our Lord, and of great power. Oh, look at this. His understanding is infinite. When I don't understand, it gives me peace to know that He understands. And certainly, there are things we don't understand. It happens. But I'm glad He understands. That makes it a whole lot better because He's in control anyway. All right. And if he understands what's going on, well, I can calm down a little bit and relax and maybe find that smile again and maybe get some joy back. Amen. Another thing that'll bring sadness in our lives, look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Jealousy brings sadness our way. Genesis 4, beginning in verse 3. "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Well, his countenance fell, all because of jealousy. God accepted my brother's offering. I worked hard for that offering. I worked harder than he did. It's not right. It's not right. I want God's blessing on my life like he has. By the way, there might be a time when you and I might not. Now, we're not going to offer to God an offering of our hands. Okay, we know better than that, all right? We've learned that. We've learned from that example, all right? We need a blood offering. It's all God, amen? And the final payment for sin was made on Calvary. We just need to accept that payment as ours, claim that as our own, ask the Lord to be our Savior, and you know what I'm saying? We might not have that, but we look at somebody else and we say, boy, look how God's blessing him. We got some preachers here tonight, and sometimes preachers have a tendency, and I'm one, okay, and I've pastored too. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at the guy across town or the guy in another state and say, well, he's wet behind the ears, young preacher, and what's the big deal? How is it that he's building a big work and I work so hard? Why, I pray. I knock on doors. I work in my Sunday school class. I pray for my kids, and I've only got four kids in my class, and she's got six. She doesn't deserve that. Why? And jealousy creeps in, and we begin to look at how God's blessing somebody. Cain was jealous of his brother. God was blessing his brother. God was pleased with his brother. I worked hard to please God. But he didn't obey God. That was the problem. By the way, we needed to obey the Lord. Ever think about that? You know, sometimes we just need to obey. But jealousy comes into our lives, and it can tear us up. First Kings 21. 1 Kings 21, verse 5 and 6. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad, and thou eatest no bread? He said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let thine heart be married, and I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Well, you know the story, but Ahab was jealous of Naboth. Naboth had a better vineyard than he did. I'm the king. Why can't I have that vineyard? I want it. That's a message of its own, but I just want to tell you, jealousy can bring you sadness. We need to be thankful for what God gives us and not be jealous of what somebody else has. Amen. It'll bring sadness your way. See, there are some things that sometimes we find ourselves doing that actually bring it on ourselves. And we wonder, why am I so sad? Why can't I get my joy? Why can't I be happy? and sometimes it's just for a fleeting moment. But either way, it's not good. It's not, and especially when we brought it on ourselves. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Things that cause sadness in our lives. Unfulfilled dreams can cause sadness. You ever have a dream that just wouldn't come to reality? 1 Samuel chapter 1. And verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave unto Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat on a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and he was in bitterness of soul, and he prayed unto, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured my heart out, or poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of the complaint, out of the abundance of my complaint, here I'll get it, and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And he said, She said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Unfulfilled dreams can bring a sad countenance. They can make you sad. We get goals in our hearts. She had a goal in her heart and her soul. I want a man child. I want a man child. I want to have a baby boy. I long to have a baby boy. And that's not that uncommon. Even today, many have that same burden on their heart that they want to be able to have children, and for whatever reason, they're not able. And that unfulfilled dream brought sadness to her heart. And she came, now she handled it properly. She went to the Lord, she went to the house of God, and of course the rest of the story, of course, God gave her dream. But in that time, there was sadness because she just couldn't see that dream become a reality. We've all been there. There have been things that you've dreamed about. Things that you wanted to accomplish for the Lord, possibly things that you just wanted to do. I mean, maybe even as a young person, some of you young folks, maybe there are dreams you had. You wanted to be good at ball or a particular sport you wanted to play, and maybe you couldn't play or didn't play as well as you dreamed that you would. You know, and sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Okay, we all do that, and so we're discouraged and we are sad because we can't see our dream fulfilled. When I was studying this for tonight, I was reminded of a poem that Debbie wrote, and Debbie had a lot of dreams. She did, and of course she went to be with the Lord back in February 18th, and. It was just the day before her funeral. I was going through the file cabinet. I was looking for songs that she had written and trying to refresh my memory of any songs that maybe I wasn't familiar with. I mean, my goodness, we think she probably wrote well over 200 songs. And kind of going through that stuff. And I was going through the file of lyrics and song ideas, what I think was the name she had on that file folder. And I found this poem, and I want to read it to you. Maybe it'll be an encouragement to you. It helped me. Debbie had so many dreams. She wanted to do more with her music. There were so many things. She loved to speak for ladies' meetings and things of that nature. And she had so many dreams of things she wanted to do. And of course, watching her grandkids grow up and everything, you know, like that. And she loved serving with me. She went with me most of the time. When I was out preaching, whatever, she'd come along and she just loved the ministry. And she had some dreams. But when I saw this poem, it helped me because of the unfulfilled dreams in my life. And then I was sad for her because she didn't get to fulfill dreams that she had. And then I read this. You got to hear it. The title, Just Beyond My Reach. There have been so many things I thought I'd like to do, noble, sweet ambitions. And soon my musings grew. They blossomed into lovely dreams of actions, song, and speech. But my heart was disappointed. They were just beyond my reach. In the garden of my dreams are flowers of every hue, so fragrant and alluring. But are they right and true? Please come into my garden, Lord, and pull each selfish bloom, that I might have the best of dreams, a dream that's straight from you. There is one who knows me well, yet loved me from the start. He is the Rose of Sharon, who lives within my heart. And when I'm disappointed over a lofty dream for me, I'll think about my Savior, whose dream was Calvary. So if there is some flowery dream's fulfillment I don't see, I'll trust my Heavenly Father to know what's best for me. And when I see my Savior's face and worship at His feet, I'll never have another dream that's just beyond my reach. Just beyond my reach, I could not understand why the Lord prevented what seemed the best of plans. As I gaze into my empty hands and fall upon my knees, and in that time of stillness, my Father speaks to me, there were reasons that those dreams of mine, such lofty plans within my mind, were plucked because of loving grace and by wiser hands moved to a place that was just beyond my reach. Wow. God knows best. Sometimes those disappointments come in our lives. It's like, why, God? Almost. But that unfulfilled dream takes away the joy. Now, in Hannah's case, look at verse 17 and 18. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. See, after she believed the man of God, Eli said, it's going to be all right. You prayed to the Lord. She believed the man of God, and she walked away, and her countenance was no more sad. Trust the man of God in your life. Amen. Trust your preacher. He'll give you wise counsel. Okay, he'll help you. And many times he might help that sadness to go away. Amen. You trust your preacher. Unfulfilled dreams can cause sadness to come our way. And then fourthly, a selfless concern for the needs of others can bring sadness our way. Go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? You see, Nehemiah had a selfless concern for the needs of others. He thought about his city. He thought about the folks back there. Now, he wasn't there. He was in the palace. He was taking care of the king. He had everything he could need. But he thought about back home, and it broke his heart, and he was sad. See, sadness, when sadness comes our way, it's not necessarily a bad thing unless we dwell there, unless we stay there. This was a good thing. It was a good thing to have a concern for others. And you and I ought to have a concern for others. It ought to break our hearts when we think of the condition of our country. Just like it broke his heart over the condition of Jerusalem. It ought to break your heart. It ought to make you sad. When you watch the news, you look at a newspaper and you see what's going on. It ought to make you sad. But don't stay there. You're better off, honestly, spend much, much more time in the Word of God than with the newspaper. The Word of God will bring cheer and hope to your heart. The news will bring sadness. But we live in the world and, you know, we see what's going on and, you know, I don't advise you stay in the house and keep the blinds pulled 24/7. You know, you look out the road and you see an accident or you see the neighbor out there that's not living for the Lord and it makes you sad, and that's okay, but don't stay there. I'll tell you, sometimes we can do something about it. Nehemiah did something about it, glory to God, didn't he? Amen? He did something about it. I wonder maybe if we could do something about it and make a difference and erase some of that sadness. I wonder that neighbor that gives us so much grief because they're not living for God and they're a thorn in our side. I wonder if we went over and handed them a gospel tract and witnessed to them and showed a little love there. Maybe we couldn't win them to the Lord and get an ally instead of an enemy. Amen. I wonder if sometimes we couldn't fix some of that sadness that way. No, it happens. It happens at times. There are things coming along that bring sadness into our lives, and it's the way it goes. But see, folks deal with sadness. We're human. We're human. Move on. Psalms, Psalm 51, Psalm 51, Psalm 51, and verse 8. Of course, this is the psalm that David penned as he got right with the Lord after committing a horrible sin. Verse 8, he says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Unconfessed sin will bring sadness into your life. Get it right with God. Get it taken care of. Meet the Lord at the altar. Confess that sin. Confess that fault you have, that mistake you made, whatever you want to call it. We can sugarcoat it, call it whatever we want, but the bottom line, it's sin. Amen. We confess that sin to God, get that out of the way, repent of that thing, and the joy comes back. Unconfessed sin will bring sadness into our lives. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Verse 16 through 18. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance." They were sad. "For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You see, these hypocrites were of a sad countenance when they fasted. Pride caused sadness in their lives. They were they were proud of their spirituality. Okay, they thought they were so spiritual. Basically, what it amounts to is they were sad and proud of it. Okay. You know, they wanted everybody to know how sad they were because they didn't eat that day. Now the Lord's telling them, if you're going to skip a meal, if you're going to fast one day, that's right, but that's all right. That's a wonderful thing, but keep a smile on your face. Don't appear to be sad. You know, they wanted everybody to see how sad they were. They were sad and proud of it. You know? "I'm suffering for Jesus. Oh, I'm just suffering for Jesus. Have mercy on me." Well, they got their reward. A lot of folks say, "Oh, look how spiritual those guys are. They're suffering for Jesus. They're fasting. They fast more than I do. And oh, look at that. Look at that." You know, oh, pride will tear you up, won't it? It will. Even trying to do a good thing, but. No, look how spiritual I am. Oh, my goodness. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John 11 and beginning in verse 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept." The death of a friend or loved one can cause sadness in our lives. Amen? The death of a friend or a loved one can cause sadness in our lives. And Jesus wept. I believe there was some sadness there. But can I also add, if you notice verse 35 again, It says that Jesus wept. Notice that and compare that with what we learned over in the book of Nehemiah. A selfless concern for the needs of others. Honestly, I believe Jesus' heart was moved over Lazarus, over the death of that friend. But can I tell you, I believe the greatest sadness that he experienced was over the others that just didn't understand what God was doing and the ability that God had. The fact that they didn't believe. So many of them were unbelievers. Many of them didn't even believe after he rose Lazarus. And Jesus knew they weren't going to believe after Lazarus rose from the dead. Jesus knew Lazarus was going to rise. He knew that. That was the plan all along. So I think the tears were more for the others than they were for his loss of a friend. I think they were more for others. A selfless concern for others. Folks, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But you see, Jesus didn't stay weeping. Amen? And Nehemiah didn't continue with a sad countenance. He pulled out of that and did something about it. Amen? He moved on from that area, from that time in his life. That leads me to, go with me to the book of Psalms. How do you overcome sadness? We are going to have sadness in our lives. I mean, let's face it. We're all going to experience, there's things coming along. We've looked at many other things, Psalm 42. We looked at many situations and all that will bring sadness our way. But if that's where we ended tonight, it would be a sad night. Amen. But I want to leave you with some hope. God's word always has hope. I'll tell you, this book, it's an amazing book. You ought to read it sometime. It's filled with hope. Amen. It is. And thank God. Thank God for his word. Psalm 42. And look at verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You see, sadness is a problem with countenance. When I'm sad, my countenance is unhealthy. Okay, there's a problem with my countenance when I am sad. Drop down to chapter 43 or Psalm 43, verse 4. Then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Oh wow, God is my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. How to overcome sadness? Oh my, go to the Lord. Amen. Go to the Lord and just like he did. When I'm sad, there's a problem. There's a problem with my countenance. My countenance is broken and needs fixed. Did you see what he said there? I underlined this in my Bible. I shall yet praise him, and then notice who is the health of my countenance. He is the health of my countenance. When my countenance is sick, When I'm sad, unnecessarily, when I stay sad too long, then I need to turn to him, and he's the health of my countenance. He's the one that can restore the joy to my soul. He's the one that can lift me up and keep me going. It's him. He's the answer for all of our needs. Glory to God. He's the one that can meet the need. He's the one that can bring the encouragement along. And when sadness comes for whatever reason, he's the answer. He's always the answer. Can I share another personal experience with you? I wasn't going to share this tonight, but I just feel like I should. Actually, if I remember right, I could be off, but I believe that this was a message I preached the Sunday after we talked to the oncologist, and he recommended that we contact hospice. I believe it was the following Sunday that I preached this. It might have been 2 weeks after, but it was shortly after we learned that. And when we sat together in one of those wide chairs, we sat together with a laptop in our lap there, and I had a virtual visit with the oncologist, and he explained to us that there wasn't anything more that they felt like they could. And he recommended that we contact hospice. By then, Debbie couldn't speak much. She had a tumor in her head, a brain cancer, and it was in the speech area, and got to the point where she had a really hard time communicating. She could still nod her head, and she might say a little bit, but very little. And after we got done, I don't know why I asked this. Looking back on it, I'm thinking, why in the world did you do that? Why would you put that kind of pressure on that? I don't know why I asked it. But first thing came to my mind, I turned to her and I said, "Debbie, are you sad?" She shook her head, "No." That did something for me. Now, I don't know what I'd have done. I wouldn't have blamed her, but I don't know what I'd have done if she'd have shook her head yes and began to cry. She didn't. She didn't cry. She says, "No, I'm not sad." She knew the Lord. She knew where she was going. She was at peace with whatever God wanted for her life. Dreams just beyond her reach. It's all right. It's in His hands, you see. That helped me. That helped me. Folks, the answer is the Lord. He's always the answer. It doesn't matter the problem. It doesn't. It doesn't matter how deep the valley is. It doesn't matter how serious the problem is. The answer is always the Lord. He is the health of our countenance. And David said, I shall yet praise Him. See, he's speaking to himself and he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Hey, self. Why are you sad today? What's the problem? I'm gonna still praise God. When I'm sad, I can still praise God. Amen. And that's what he said. I'm gonna praise God anyhow. Go back to Genesis 40, and we'll wrap it up. Genesis 40, and look at verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" Joseph doesn't appear to be sad. Joseph's been there longer than they have. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. Joseph was serving his master. Joseph was serving his God. Joseph was innocent. And Joseph had been there a very long time. But Joseph wasn't sad. There's no indication at all. I mean, Joseph was so perceptive. He says, "Man, guys, why are you sad today?" Now, what we might have expected is Joseph to say, "It's rough, isn't it, guys? Yeah, I know where you're at. Yeah, me too. Let's have a pity party together." You know, I've heard there's three folks attended a pity party, and there were three of them there. You know, me, myself, and I. They had three. I guess maybe they could have had nine. Okay. But no, that wasn't Joseph's attitude. Joseph was on top of the world. Joseph knew his God and trusted his God, regardless of what the outcome will be. I want you to notice what Joseph's father had to say at his parting. Go to 49, chapter 49. Chapter 49 of Genesis, verse 22. He's talking about each of the boys. He gets them all together and he talks about them and kind of a little prophecy about them and a little bit of their history. And verse 22, here's what he has to say about Joseph. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a wall, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode, his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." You see, Joseph was a fruitful bow. Reached up over the wall. The wall would stop everybody. The wall stopped the rest of his brothers. The wall would stop anybody. The wall would stop most of us. But oh, not Joseph. Not Joseph. When Joseph came up to a brick wall, why, his branches climbed up over the wall. And he wouldn't let it stop him. When the archers shot at him, when his brothers sold him into slavery, when he ended up in the prison house, on and on, the struggles that he had, he continued on. He continued on. And so naturally, in the prison, of course Joseph's going to be on top of the world. Of course Joseph's not going to be sad. He's going to be perceptive, and he's going to recognize their need because they lack that joy, that joy that Joseph had deep down in his heart. And where did it come from? Where did Joseph get that? By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. I got to tell you, when sadness comes your way, and it will, there's help from the mighty God of Jacob. There's help in the Lord. There's the answer in this book. There's an answer on your knees. You just trust the Lord. You just trust the Lord. By the way, that poem I read, we've got some copies. Preacher made some copies for you tonight. So on the way out, make sure you grab one off the table. I want it to be a blessing in your life. There'll be some unfulfilled dreams. But just trust the Lord. God knows what He's doing. Aren't you glad God knows what He's doing? Let's stand with heads bowed. Father, I really don't know why You put this message on my heart tonight. I just hope it helped somebody. God, we all deal with sadness from time to time. I know overall there ought to be a joy that is abounding and that never leaves. I realize that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But from time to time, sadness comes our way. When that happens, Lord, remind us to turn to You. Lord, You'll always be there for us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just a couple quick questions for you tonight. You'd say, Brother Black, I'm saved and I know it. The most important thing is knowing you're going to heaven. You'd say, I'm saved and I know it. Could you lift your hand up as a testimony of God's grace in your life? Saved and know it. Absolutely positive. I'm going to heaven when I die. All right, thank you. You put your hands down. Could be that you're just not quite sure. You'd say, Brother Black, I'm just not sure. I'm going to heaven, but I really don't want to go to hell. And we were talking about sadness coming in your way. There's nothing sadder than facing an eternity without God. Nothing sadder than realizing someday you're going to die and spend an eternity in a place called hell. Don't have to live that way. You can have the joy of Christ in your heart. Say, Brother Black, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone at all, would you just slip your hand up? So slip it up and put it down. I'd like to pray for you. Yes, anyone else? Just pray for me. I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Maybe you'd say, Brother Black, God spoke to me in some other way tonight. Maybe you're dealing with a little sadness right now. Maybe you know someone who is and your heart's burdened for them. Maybe it's the sadness like Nehemiah had, like Jesus had. A genuine concern for somebody else. Say, pray for me tonight, Brother Black. God spoke to my heart. Just lift your hand up. Let me pray for you. Yes, yes. Several hands. Others, pray for me. Include me in that prayer, Brother Black. Father, you saw the hands that were raised. And Lord, I just pray that You'll help each one of us to get the answer we need. Lord, help us to find our way down to this altar and speak with You about it. Have Your will and way, and we'll thank You. In Christ's name we pray.